I believe it's going to be 14. J-O-B, if you can't spell it. I asked the dads to give the bios yesterday for the kids. I thought that'd be special. Bethel's still small enough where we can do some extra things. And the service went long yesterday, there's no doubt about it, but I don't apologize for it because it was my kid and I don't care. But it was neat to see the dads, real tough guys, walk up, just blubbering babies up here talking about their kids. But I was telling Preacher, and this dawned on me about a month ago, the four that graduated this year were all preacher's kids.
Yeah.
And so because they're all preacher's kids, I thought, well, you probably ought to give the preachers an opportunity to talk about their kids. And I'll tell you why. Take it for what it's worth. Being a preacher kid is a different animal.
Yeah.
It's not the same as being a kid.
Right.
You are held to a higher standard, and it's wrongfully so. They ought not be held to a higher standard. They're kids just like your kids are. And honestly, we treat them not quite equal. And the parents don't either. You know, we look at our kids and say, hey, listen, you're a preacher's kid. You get to sit up straight and be good.
Yeah.
To be real honest with you, I don't understand why that is, but it is what it is. And thankfully, the four kids that we had graduate yesterday have not rebelled against that. They've embraced it. And I thought it would be neat for the parents to come up and say stuff. And then we got up here, and I said, boy, this is a stupid idea. Because Brother Lexoff said it was a stupid idea. And then Brother Shell said it was a stupid idea. We all agreed that was a dumb idea. But it was great to see the parents get a chance to say something about their kids. And we're very fortunate. There's nothing else we can do. Kids make their own decisions. And parents, I want to let you know something. And I'll get to this in a second. You can be the greatest parent in the whole wide world, and your kid can be a mess. You can be the most horrible parent in the whole wide world, and your child can turn out great. And I showed you examples of that in the scripture lots of times when we're talking about the kings. But that does not allow us to be off the hook as parents. We still have to be great parents. And I've had a lot of parents, why try then, Brother Dave, why try? Well, because that's your job. When you had a child, you had a responsibility, not just a child. But these four have happened to do a great job, and I'm excited about it. And I want you to pray for the kids. I want you to pray very specifically for the kids because they are going out into the world now. And as a matter of fact, my daughter took off in her car today. And I want to tackle it. I'll tell you that right now. I want to stop the car, get out, and go back and lay in your crib. Yes, so make sure you pray for them. Good kids, but it was an exciting day yesterday, and I was very, very happy to be part of that group. So Austin never shows emotion, ever, emotionless, okay? And he's up here trying to get through his speech as fast as possible. I've never heard somebody read that fast in my entire life, okay? And Natalie did the same thing. I had a hard time keeping up with him. But you could see Austin's jaw start to quiver right here. He got down to the end and started getting to the thank yous. And oh my soul, I thought he was going to break out in tears. I was hoping for it. Go. But he didn't. He did a good job. Natalie, of course, she started crying as soon as she heard Grandpa sing Natalie Rose to her. And I thought that would be a nice time. I hit him up with that about 10 minutes before the service started. Can you sing the Natalie Rose song to her? And that went real well. So if you missed it, you missed a great service. I wish you all would have come, but it was a good time for our kids, and I was excited about it. But take your Bibles, Job chapter 14, verse 1. We're talking about serving the Lord. We've been dealing with this now for a couple of weeks. And I'm gonna show you one of the easiest ways to not serve God. It is easy not to serve God, actually. You just don't do anything for Him. But there's things, though, that will ruin good intentions. And believe me, every one of us is subject to what I'm going to be talking about this morning. And I want to show you just a little bit, and I want to take you to a chapter at the very end. I think you're going to enjoy how this ends up today. You may not enjoy the first part, but I think you'll enjoy the last part. So stay with me, though, the entire part. That would be really great. But if you look at Job chapter 14, verse 1, the Bible says, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble." Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I am physically exhausted. And the reason is not because of working hard. It's because of the emotional side of life. Okay? And I want to... Emotion in your life is wonderful. Please don't misread me. I'm not going to blow this into a different type of religion, but emotion in your life is necessary. It's part of life, but it will physically exhaust you. It will physically put you into a position. I believe the number one problem that we have in America today health-wise is not heart disease, cancer, and all those things. I believe it's stress. I believe you deal with everyday life, and that triggers other things. It tires your body out. It tires you out physically. And what happens is this. And by the way, I believe this is a wonderfully intricate design plan that the devil has put in place in our life to completely keep us off track of serving the Lord, the different stresses that come into our life, the different things. And by the way, not one person in this room is immune to what I'm talking about. Not one. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. You have stress in your life. You say, what kind of stress could a six-year-old boy have? Let me tell you, I could introduce you to bus ministry kids that have more stress in their life than you'll ever have in yours. Okay? So stress comes in all different forms, all different shapes, all different sizes. But the title of the lesson today is, "So You've Had a Bad Day." Now listen, how many in here would raise their hand and say, "I, in the past, have had a bad day"? Okay? Now, the reason I want to talk to you about this is it's very simple. The Bible says, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble." The Bible is admitting to you here through the Scripture that you will have bad days. You're not going to get away from them. And I know that it comes in your life and you don't want it to happen, but they do come. It's how we deal with them. We're talking about serving the Lord here. And I'll get to that in one moment. But understand this. In your life, you will have days that are bad. Now, what brings a bad day? What makes a bad day? Well, certainly you could talk about crisis. Nobody has had a day like Job. I mean, come on. Nobody. I dare say that not one person in this room has lost everything in one day. Okay? But we've all had bad days, and crisis could definitely be, I mean, we talk about the Oklahoma tornado, that would certainly give you a bad day. I mean, I'm not minimizing that. That's horrifying. I don't know if you ever saw the picture. It's horrifying. You could talk about a sickness in the family, a death in the family. Bad news would come into your life, and that would give you a bad day. And certainly through all those things, serving the Lord is not going to be first on your list. And let me help you out a little bit. I don't think anybody's upset if you have a bad day or crisis comes in your life and you get bad news. I don't think anybody's going to be upset that you don't go out soul winning. Give yourself a break here. There are times when serving the Lord's not going to be the first thing on your mind because you've got family issues to deal with. And by the way, I think God wants you to deal with your family. Here, let me tell you something. We miss that a lot, especially as preachers and people that serve in the ministry. You miss out on your family a lot. I'm one of those folks that stays away from my family unnecessarily quite often because I think that serving the Lord is so vital and important. I got to be honest with you. God's number one, family's number two. Serving God should go through my family to Him. My family should be more important to me than you all. By the way, your family ought to be more important to you than this all. Okay? It ought to be more important to you to take care of your family and those things. Now, before you start running out of this church house saying, "I'm going to go be with my family," you should want to bring your family to church. That should be a priority in your life to make sure that your family is in church. So that's taking care of your family. You leave your family home, that doesn't help your family. Okay, you're not doing your job. At least invite them to church or whatever. But we'll give you those few things. Bad news comes into your life. Crisis comes into your life. But I've got to be honest with you. Bad days don't come very often from those things. Let's be honest. You don't receive bad news truthfully all that often, if you'd be honest with yourself. What happens when we get bad days? First of all, I think things don't go the way we planned. Now let me underline the word we. Have you had a bad day? Your days are full of trouble. I bet you more times than not, our bad days come because they don't go the way we had indicated that they would go. Come on, be honest. Think with me now. I've got a bad day. Why do you have a bad day? I'll tell you right now, we just had a bad day, preacher and I both, because not one of our buses passed. And by the way, let me help you out. It ruined my whole day. Matter of fact, it's poured over now into the second and third day. I'm still reeling over it. Because we had a bus worker that worked for hours and days and days and days working on those buses, and those guys came in acting like our buses weren't worth nothing. Very difficult, because now our bus ministry is relegated to cars and vans. And you miss 1 week on the buses, it takes you 3 weeks to recover. I'm going to tell you, the bus ministry is so vital. You've got to understand how important it is. And if you get that taken away, we planned. Our plan was that the buses would pass. Our plan was they would go right through and we'd have them the next week. Our plan was, our hopes were set. How many times have your hopes been dashed and it ruined your day? Amen. And I understand why you feel that way. However, how do we know that that's not God's plan? See, I think what happens in our life, we decide what we think should come into our lives. And now it gets quiet. We decide what should come into our lives. And when something different comes along, when something that wasn't what we thought should come comes along, how many have ever had that? We didn't think it should happen this way, but there was one above you that did, and it ruins your day. How do we know that all three of our buses wouldn't have piled up in an accident today? How do we know that? We don't know that. Maybe God's pulled them off to the side because one of them was about to light on fire. How do we know what would have happened? Maybe we would have had a tragedy on the buses today. Maybe something happened that was necessary for those buses to stand off the side. And yes, it ruined my entire day. Just before my daughter's getting ready to graduate, on my mind is something else. Man is a few days and full of trouble. I'm still talking about serving the Lord, though. Stay with me. Now, let's think of another reason. And by the way, I think that's the vast majority. Number one answer. Here's the next one. How many have had a bad day because things go the way you planned, but you figured out the plan just wasn't that great? Somebody say amen to that, I'll tell you. There's days, I'm telling you, where I've got it all figured out. How many have ever had it all, especially guys? Come on, man. You know you've had it all figured out. You know what's going to happen before it comes. You've got it laid out. Everything's going to be just fine. And then you get through to your part where you said, this is the decision I'm going to make here. This is what we're going to do. And because I've done this in my great infinite wisdom, then it falls apart. Well, that didn't work. How many have ever said that? Oh, that didn't work. And we try as men, let me pick on the men here for a second. We try to blame it on other things. Be quiet, Liz. We try our best to make it so it wasn't us. This is what I planned. This is what I laid out. But honestly, it wasn't my fault. Although you're the one that planned it that way, something else came in and it ruined and threw a monkey wrench into all your grand design. Is that not true? And we try to explain our way out of the messes that we made. Well, this is how I'm going to go to get to Alliance, and you start driving that way, and all of a sudden there's a detour. That's all right. I'm a man. I've got it all figured out. And you end up in Fremont. Well, Fremont's that way. I just wanted to see Fremont. You keep making excuses, but it keeps getting worse. We have bad days. Things come into our lives that we just don't see coming. And what's amazing to me is this. I have done my dead level best to try to train myself into what does God want? And it's hard. Because you still have to plan. Occupy till I come. We plan for this picnic, but the rapture could happen now. We plan for that. But here's what bothered me, Brother Bobby. I believe that when the rapture happens, some people at first will probably be mad. That's why the Lord's making it so fast. Why is the Lord speeding the rapture up? He's got to, because us Baptists are so dumb, we'll complain. We might be in the middle of a potluck. You can't do that. I've got my chicken breast in my hands, and you're going to have the rapture now? If the horn blows, we'll be heading up to line one more time if the Lord doesn't get us quick. You must understand something. The Bible says, boast not of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Well, we use that all the time for soul winning, to make sure that you get your soul saved. Let me tell you something. If you don't know the Lord is your Savior, you are foolish to wait. You are foolish to wait. God's not interested in how good you are. He died for you just as you are. Now, you must understand something. These days come and things come in the way, and we don't know what's going to happen. And the vast majority of the time when we have a bad day, it's because of the plans getting dashed. But how do we avoid the bad days? You can't. That's the simplest answer. They're coming. The bad days are going to come, and you can't avoid them. But we can minimize them. We can make sure it doesn't become two bad days. We can make sure that we give to the Lord what we are considering to be bad. We can try to find, because all things work together for good, to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. Bad things may come, but understand this, those bad things may be meant for good. God says, yeah, you've got bad things coming, but understand this, I meant them for good. And I know it's, I stand up here, you're looking at me saying, yeah, you don't mean a word of what you just said. Because I've seen you, brother, and you get mad a lot. That's true. It's true. I'm not telling you that you should get over it today. I'm telling you we should be willing to work on giving what happens to us to the Lord. We should be willing to work on it. Hey, listen, you're not going to fix this all in one day, but listen, you're living with anxiety that's unnecessary. You're living with anxiety that's unnecessary because you've got this innate desire inside of you to have control. Your bad days come because you don't have control of the day. Yes, you can jump in your car. Yes, you can drive somewhere. You don't know what's coming. You know that your furnace only breaks down in the winter. You know that your tires only blow out when you're in a hurry. You know that you only get behind the person that drives 1 mile an hour when you're late for work. Amen? But what is God keeping you from? And I have a fair amount of road rage. Okay? I believe my niece has more road rage than the vast majority of these people in this room put together. My wife doesn't have road rage. She just passes people. Two, line one, it makes no difference. But when things come into our life, here's what my caution point is, and I'll move on to the next part. Bad days make you forget about a good God. I believe that's profound right there. Bad days make you forget about a good God. And we replace a good God with a bad day. Boy, that's a lose-lose. But we do it all the time. We do it feeling like you should have control of this situation. You should have control of what happens in your life. Here's the problem. You're putting you in the wrong position. He should be in control of your life, not you. Let Him have your life. Let Him have your day. Let Him. I know I bring this up all the time, but honest to goodness, the one of the greatest prayer warriors we've ever had come through this church was Mary Reinhart. One of the greatest ladies ever you'll ever meet. What, fantastic, wonderful woman. Wonderful woman. Loved God. Oh, man, she loved God. She started everything with prayer. Even if it was just a little one. Everything with prayer. Every time she got into her car, she prayed she'd make it home. Every time she went to the kitchen, she'd pray that she'd make it to the kitchen. She'd pray that the cake that she would give would be good for somebody. She prayed that she would have another day. She prayed she'd have another chance. She would write out cards and pray over the cards and send the cards after she'd pray over them. She prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Why? Because she didn't want to have a bad day. She wanted God to give her a good day. In the midst of her passing out from her blood sugar being the biggest roller coaster blood sugar I've ever seen in my entire life, that woman could eat a Hershey Kiss and go into a coma. If she skipped eating the Hershey Kiss, she would go into a coma. That poor lady was up and down with her sugar every day. Yet she begged God, oh God, just let this day be good. She would do it all the time. And I wonder if the secret doesn't lie in starting the day out saying, God, I don't know what's coming. Think with me now. God, I don't know what's coming. But I want you to take me through whatever it is. Can we lessen the bad days? Does that mean that you will be absolutely impervious to bad news? No way. The tower in Siloam still fell on the 18 people, and God didn't do it to them. You got to understand something. You've got the whole world in front of you, and we believe we can control what the world brings. We believe that we have the control over what happens in our day-to-day life. The whole thing that will lessen your bad day is if you realize you have no control and you give it to the Lord, which is not easy. It's so easy to say, so hard to do. Your hot water tank only goes out when you need hot water. Right? Up until that time, you're just fine. See, what happens in our lives is we get so caught up with the things we cannot control, we lose control of the one that can. Look at this now. I want you to turn real quickly to Psalm 23. Now, you've heard this recited over and over and over at funerals. I have read this every funeral since my inception of doing funerals, and that's over 200 ago. So understand this, I've read this a lot of times, but do you want me to tell you something? This scripture has less to do with death than it does with life. Less. Let me read this to you, and I want to show you something at the end here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now let me ask you a question. The shepherd, what does a shepherd do? Tends sheep. Okay? Now, if only one sheep is gone astray, what would the Lord do? Drop everything he's doing and go get the one. Praise the Lord. What does the shepherd do with the one? Brings it back in line with the rest of the flock. Praise the Lord. So in your life, the Lord is my shepherd. This is a statement that's saying, I'm giving my life and days to the Lord. Because he is going to be my shepherd, I'm only going to do what he allows me to do. Do the sheep know what's going on from day to day? But the shepherd does. Does a shepherd know what's going to come tomorrow for you? Yes, he does. The shepherd knows. Do you know? No. Now, let's look at this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This is a statement being made by David. I'm not going to want. Why? Because I'm going to be happy with what he gives me. Wait a minute now. Because I shall not want does not mean you're going to have all your wants. It does not mean that. What it does mean, though, is he's saying, I'm going to be satisfied with what he gives me. How do you lessen your bad days? You're content. That's difficult now. That's a difficult thing. Don't think I'm standing up here, I'm content with everything I have. That's not true. There's things I want, but the Lord's saying, be happy with what you have. Here's the thing. Change your wants from a Cadillac to serving the Lord. Change your wants. Change your wants. I promise you the Lord will fulfill that want. You want to serve God, he'll fulfill that, I promise you. He may not give you a Cadillac, but he will allow you to serve him. Well, that's stupid. I want a Cadillac. I really don't want to serve the Lord. Then you're going to want. Amen? Now, let's continue on. I know that, just hold on. I know this is a technical issue here, but listen to what this says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me, he who? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Wouldn't it be great to take a rest for a moment? Wouldn't it? In America, wouldn't it be great to take a rest today? You've got to work 150 hours to make the same money you made 35, 40 years ago working 40. If you make them comparison percent to percent, the job that he had back in the 1970s would be a great job today. He spent $3,000-some-odd for a brand new Buick Grand Sport back when he was working at Allied Chemical. Is that correct? Did I say that correct? Okay. He was making 14-something an hour back then. If I said you could have a $14-an-hour job, you would jump at the chance today. That same Buick Grand Sport cost you $35,000. It is not the same anymore. Right? It is not the same. So we've got to have, not only dad's got to work 2 and 3 jobs, now mom's starting to work. And let me tell you, this isn't a new thing. Mom's now working more than dad. And mom and dad now are working both 100 hours a week. So who do we give our kids to? The nanny. So all this thing is working. Are you getting rest? Where's stress coming from? The fact that our needs have become our wants, and we want something more than we need. And because of those things, we've got to work our tails off to get what we want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. But you've got to understand something. In that verse, it says he's not just going to give it to you. You've got to follow him there. You act like when you get saved that, oh, well, the world's now going to be roses. Boy, it gets bad right off the bat, to be real honest with you. You get saved, the devil finds out all about it, and he comes after you. If you want to have rest, if you want to have these green pastures, if you want to have this joy, you must follow the shepherd. It's a real tough concept, I know. But if you're not following God, are you expecting him still to take care of all of your everyday functions? Why do we get so mad? Why do we get so upset? Why do these bad days affect us so much? And bad days affect people in different ways. Some people, you give them a bad day, they're done. Forget that. Their whole day, might as well take the day off work. They're not any longer worth anything. It doesn't have to be so. They're coming. But if you're being led by Jesus Christ, if you're in his scripture and praying, learning of him, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. See, it's amazing to me. We have bad days because we're going a million miles an hour. And I know that feeling. I've done it. I've lived it and continue to live it to this day. There's not enough hours. I wish we had 100 hours in a day. That would help. Right? That's not what the Lord gives us. Look at this now. He restoreth my soul. Not the television set. Not the recliner. Not a pastime of fishing. He restoreth your soul. He restoreth your soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It doesn't seem to me like this is dealing with death at all. Look at this now. Yea, now here's the death, right? Even if it got this bad, even if your, this is what it's saying, if your day got this bad, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Even if your day is the worst ever, what's the worst ever? Obviously, mortality is the worst ever. You've got heaven waiting on the other side. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Does this sound like a person having a bad day? They just walked through the valley of the shadow of death, for goodness sake, and now they're having a good day. Look at this now, and this is what I wanted to end with. This is where I wanted to get to. Surely, goodness and mercy shall lead me, shall follow me. How many days? All that of my death, of my life. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now listen. You may have bad days, but mercy's coming. You may have a bad day, but goodness is just right around the corner. There's things that come, and I know I talk about Brother Sells all the time, who's probably dying, feels like he's got a javelin in his back right now because his back's in so much pain. But I spoke with him, and he's lying on the bed, sicker than a dog, reading his Bible, glory to God. And I said, Brother Mike, at the other side of this, you're going to be stronger than you were before. And I don't know why I say such things. It's stupid because I'm healthy there. What kind of comfort is that given to a sick guy? But I'm telling you, I watched his life, and the only reason I felt comfortable in saying that, number one, I believe the Lord wanted me to, but number two, I watched his life, and I watched how he was getting closer to the Lord all the time, and I knew because he was giving God credit even for his current state, I knew God was getting ready to do something great with his life. Surely goodness and mercy has followed you in these days of your life. And if you'd be honest with yourself, you may have had bad days. You may have had bad things going on. But glory to God, because you are saved, because you know the Lord is your Savior, because you've relied on Him, because you've let Him lead you, because you've let Him take care of you, goodness and mercy is coming right behind. You say, you don't know how bad, much bad news I've gotten. Well, aren't you glad you came to Sunday school today? I just gave you some good news. He doesn't just save you. See, that's the wonderful thing about God. He could just save you and never mess with your life for the rest of your life. Just wait, I'll see you in heaven. And that would be wonderful. But no, He takes care of us all along the way. And I'm going to tell you, one of the most fascinating hobbies to me is complaining. I do it too. I mean, whatever. I'm not saying I don't. Believe me, I complain. But understand this, it's amazing how much life that takes of us. You ever notice that? You get seven old people around a table, they'll tell you more medical history in 7 minutes than you can ever imagine. And listen, I understand that's the going concern. I get it. I'm with you. But it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me how little we talk about the Lord and His goodness and His mercy that's followed you. How many days? Well, that's pretty comforting. Now, come on, now let me hear that one more. How many days? All the days of your life. You say, well, that's not true. I've had bad days for 24 solid hours. It's His goodness and mercy that make that day worse. It's His goodness and mercy that's kept you coming to church. It's His goodness and mercy that's gotten you through another crisis, another set of bad news. Let me tell you something. It was goodness and mercy that got us through the days without our preacher. It was goodness and mercy. Because I'm going to tell you right now, when he went down, this church could have went right with it. You tell me I'm wrong. He's our shepherd. Our shepherd was gone. Our shepherd was in a coma for 14 days. But goodness and mercy followed. Many tears were shed. We cried a lot, and we're still praying today for his 100% recovery. At least you ought to be. And it's amazing to me how the Lord, I watched the Lord work. I hope you did too. I watched the Lord work in this church, showing His goodness and mercy. Showing that even though we were in a difficult time, let me tell you something, I never figured that my dad would be out for 14 days in a coma. Never figured. But Natalie made a statement yesterday in her speech. It gripped me. You forget about these things. He sang Natalie's song to him. And by the way, that, like it or lump it, the Lord told me to tell you that, and you did it, and I think the Lord was behind it. He got up here and sang to my daughter. And he's got a song for every one of them. Don't think he just favors one. He's got a song for every one of them, just as goofy as the next. But she sat here crying her eyes out. And of course she did. I loved it. Yeah, I cry. I keep crying. She comes up and she made a statement, though, that gripped me and should grip you, too. She said, for a while, I didn't know if I'd ever hear that again. And she said, as she sat in her chair, listen to Grandpa sing that song to her. She said, it was so wonderful that he was able to. That he was here. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So let me go back to the first part. I wonder if sometimes we don't get bad days so God can show us his goodness. Oh, this is misery. You're in misery right now. I know it. Because I'm in misery. I hate bad days. Hate them. And they always seem to start in the morning. Good, Lord have mercy. I often wonder if God doesn't do that to show us how good he is. To show us how merciful he is. Because God is good all the time. Even though we don't see it, we don't want to acknowledge it sometimes. Why would God do this to me? Why would? I know you've never said that. I know I'm the only one that has ever said, God, why would you do this to me? And it always seems to be right after you did something for him. Oh, come on, amen. Oh, man, I served the Lord. We went out, soul winning, 7 to the Lord. Woo-hoo! Oh, praise the Lord. Hey, glory to God, amen. And then the next day your tire goes flat. God, didn't you see that I served you yesterday? Yes, you won 7 to the Lord, and I kept your tire inflated while you was out on soul winning. We don't think that way, though. You had the joy of winning 7 souls to the Lord. You forgot about that, though. I'd rather have my tire go flat when I'm out on soul winning when it doesn't mean nothing instead of missing work. See your priority? I'm just asking if you ever experienced this thing before. Listen, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord wants you to have a daily walk in the house of the Lord. I don't believe that's dealing with death. I believe that's dealing with your life. And I believe, let me tell you something, if you can get plugged in, that God is in control and you are not in control and you give him the day, yes, you should make plans. But if your plans fall apart, give them to God and understand that goodness and mercy shall follow you. Goodness and mercy may not lead you, but it will follow you. And I'm going to tell you right now, it gives me great hope and great joy just to know that even though I had a bad day, and you'll have them, God may be using it to show me how good he is, to show me how wonderful he is. And even if he doesn't show me, he still is. He still is full of goodness and full of mercy. And it's followed me. I'm 43 years old. It's followed me all the days of my life. And if you rewind right now, I promise you, you'll see it too. Where that's followed you all the days of your life. So you had a bad day. But we've got such a good God that loves us so very much. Let's serve him, because that shepherd leads you to good days. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much. You are a wonderful God. I believe you've had your hand on everything that we've ever done, but Lord, it's amazing how often we try to remove your hand or try to do our own plans or try to do our own things, and so many times our plans, they just fall short, Lord. They just don't do what we thought they would do. Lord, I want us to have plans. I think we should do what we're supposed to do for you, and I think we should make plans to do things. We've got a plan to have a picnic this afternoon. I think we ought to plan for those things. We ought to be prudent with our time. But at the very same time, Lord, when you change things, when things go astray or they don't go exactly the way we thought, Lord, please let us be more willing and more able to let you have the plan. To let you finish the day for us. To let you give us your mercy and let you give us our goodness. And you know, it's funny to say that, Lord. It really is, because you would think that we would desire to have your goodness and desire to have your mercy immediately, but it's amazing how often we don't look for it. How often we decide that I'm just going to try to get through this plan all on my own. I'm going to get through my bad day and just be mad all the rest of the day instead of looking for your mercy and looking for your goodness. Because it follows us, Lord. Your Bible says it does, so it must. So, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. We know our days are going to be full of trouble. But we know we've got a God that can take care of any trouble. He's a very present help in times of trouble. Lord, let us give you our days. Let us give you our hours. Let us give you our minutes that we can serve you better. Lord, please, extend your mercy, extend your goodness on the rest of the services today and throughout the rest of this week that we may serve you better. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.